Readiness for learning. Early elementary teachers observe which students catch on quickly and which have a difficult time with academic learning. As one would expect, teachers find huge differences among students. We should not be surprised at this any more than we are at differences in physical size, musical talent, artistic ability, or athletic skills. Parents note difference among their children, this despite similar genetics and much the same family experiences. We have known for some time about the range of human variability and functioning in the body's organs from one person to another. Is there any reason to believe that mental functioning, interests, and motivations would be any less varied? Many teachers above the third grade level report that students show decreasing interest in schoolwork and try to avoid assignments with questions like, "Will this be on the test? How long does it have to be? Do I have to? Why do we have to learn this?" About half of six-year-olds are ready to read. Therefore, the other half are not. Why force learning when students aren't ready? Much of the curriculum and many of the expected outcomes have the same rigid expectation. In other settings, reading is not introduced until age 7 or 8. Those students quickly catch up and, after that, forge ahead of those taught with the standard timetable. Similar findings apply for arithmetic. Schools want to cover as much content as possible. Why not uncover? Schools waste time because of the unyielding timetables in the curriculum, the same for every student. Examples of wasted effort include algebra in the 8th grade and British literature in the 10th grade, both taught in isolation and as though every student was ready in interest and maturity. Most students have not discovered a need for the algebra or cannot relate their life experiences to British literature and don't see the relevance, nor would most adults, despite the rationale of teachers. The carefully prepared lessons zoom by with little sticking in the brain. Worse, the student comes to dislike and resent the subjects and, still worse, schooling. Gifted teachers may find ways to engage students in obscure topics, but the curve of forgetting can't be ignored. Obscure topics can be taught by innovative teachers, but ask if the material should be taught and its relevance. None of these readiness issues can be pasted on teachers and administrators. They strive with all their might to make the established system, the only one they know, work. They know it doesn't produce expected results. They have been ingenious at devising improvements to keep their spirits up. But they are in a bad system, and some want to do things differently for more learning. Typically, requests for change suffer the indignity of being ignored and denied without explanation. Meanwhile, given the absolute and widespread views about the importance of schooling, reluctant or failing children have two paths: either they view themselves as dumb and unable to learn, or they view school as senseless and uninteresting and drop out mentally or physically. The first instance strikes me as inhumane, the second as profoundly unnecessary and unfortunate. Teachers report that many students daydream or are off task much of the time. That's generally because the student wishes he or she was elsewhere. The issue of piano lessons and other areas of well-meaning adult-initiated activities encounter a child's sense of control. Critics respond that everything doesn't have to be or can't be meaningful to youth who don't even know what they don't know. They cite examples of reluctant students made to learn something that turned up later in life to yield an opportunity or interest they would not have had without the disliked lessons. It's a view that has a poor track record and violates human variability and learning principles. If interests or career opportunities occur later in life, skills and knowledge can develop then despite comments to the contrary. We don't need to demand and bore an entire student population through thousands of hours of information they forget beyond the test. Critics then say to track students by ability groups. What they mean by this borders on academic elitism. Typically, in their view, only academic learning qualifies as a worthy goal. They want rigor. On the other hand, teachers want stimulating lessons to engage students. Mostly, it doesn't work. I've observed teachers of gifted and talented students use experiential learning to challenge their learners. Many of their imaginative activities would stimulate all students. I accept that some very gifted students may require special programs or classes. However, a student gifted in mathematics may not be gifted in writing. Calvin Taylor found a large variation among talents in academic giftedness, creativity, planning, communication, and other factors. In other words, a student scoring high in one factor frequently scored low in another. The corollary was that a student with a low score in one area was frequently high in another characteristic. This view of human characteristics finds reinforcement in Project Zero at Harvard University, involving Howard Gardner's concept of multiple intelligences. The same child who tested high in one of the 8 or 9 intelligence areas likely tested low in another of the areas of verbal, logical, mathematical, bodily kinesthetic, musical, spatial, interpersonal, intrapersonal, and naturalistic intelligence. Only the first two correlate with good report card grades. The others, important as they are, don't show up on standardized tests used to judge student, teacher, and school performance. Conventional testing is a misguided, foolish, and harmful practice because it ignores human uniqueness and characteristics essential for life success. Testing ties the hands of teachers who would use the time more meaningfully. I don't argue for more tests but rather for recognition of talents and the downgrading of traditional grading of students, teachers, and schools. I do support characteristics such as these advanced by Shari Tishman at Project Zero. Being broad and adventurous. Wondering, problem finding, and investigating. Building explanations and understandings. Making plans and being strategic. Being intellectually careful. Seeking and evaluating reasons. Being metacognitive.